It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wakebright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
The DMV shows there are about 5.5 million drivers in Virginia, and of those 5.5 million, there may be 1 million suspensions at any one time. And when you reduce that by the number of people who might have multiple suspensions, it comes down to about 700,000 people are suspended at any one time.
Randy Rollins, president of Drive to Work, tells us how his organization helps qualifying low-income and previously incarcerated persons restore driving privileges so they can drive to work and hold a job. And we talk about when you need to file bankruptcy now and when you really need to wait and file bankruptcy later, during this week's question and answer session. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 60, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. A new report shows Virginia small business owners want health care reform, are willing to contribute, and want the option of a public health insurance plan. The report, Direct from Main Street, Small Business Views on Health Care and Health Reform, is based on a survey of 586 small businesses employing 50 or fewer employees in 6 states, including 153 in Virginia. The report was released last month by the Virginia Interfaith Center for Public Policy, which conducted the Virginia portion of the survey. The survey found 68% of Virginia business owners wanted more public oversight of private health insurance companies, 74% support a choice between private and public plans, and 73% are willing to contribute financially to get quality, affordable health coverage for their businesses, with 56% willing to contribute 4 to 7% of payroll. The full report can be found at www.virginiainterfaithcenter.org, then clicking the newsroom link, then clicking the link to intersession number 9. In other news, health care insurance premiums for the average Virginia family have gone up 89.9% over the last 10 years, according to a new study by the consumer health group Families USA. Bert Glass of the Virginia Organizing Project notes that wages have risen only 27% over that same time period. Glass says that a publicly supported health care system, like Medicare, would rein in for-profit health insurance companies and their sky-high costs. Opponents of any changes contend that expanding coverage to everyone would be too costly. But Glass counters that giving health insurance companies competition would result in streamlining the healthcare system and would limit costs. Glass also notes that the public health insurance option would be similar to Medicare, the widely popular single-payer health plan available to every Virginian over the age of 65. The report is available at www.familiesusa.org, then clicking on Costly Coverage Premiums Outpace Paychecks, then clicking the link to Virginia. With this week's news you can use, This is your host, Marty Wegbright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's legal term of the week is motion for show cause summons. A motion for show cause summons is a court paper filed to enforce a court order, usually a protective order, or an order for child custody, child visitation, child support, or spousal support. If you feel the prior court order is not being obeyed, you may file this at any time after the prior court order. However, a court will not seriously consider a motion for show cause summons unless the prior order is being disobeyed in some serious or important manner. Without this, the court is unlikely to enforce the order. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and motion for show cause summons is this week's legal term of the week.
Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. It's time for this week's question and answer. We're here in the studio with this week's questioner. Tell us your name and where you're from.
Mark from Richmond.
Thank you for being on the show. Tell us what your question is.
My question is that I have attained an attorney, a bankruptcy attorney, to file bankruptcy on my behalf because of amounting legal medical bills that were sent to a collections agency, and also my credit card debt. In the process, the bankruptcy lawyer had wanted $1,500 for his fee. But in order to file the necessary paperwork, he needs the whole $1,500 in order to do the paperwork to file in court. So my question is that now I've become unemployed and unable to come up with the whole $1,500. I've paid him $400 prior to me being unemployed. So my question is, will I be able to acquire all the $400 back from the attorney, or some of it back, and go to seek free financial help through some type of legal aid of filing bankruptcy?
Well, okay, Mark, those are two very good questions, and I'll answer them in the order that you asked them. The first question is, the attorney works for you. So if you decide for whatever reason that you don't want to pursue the bankruptcy, then that is the end of the matter. Now, the attorney is allowed to charge you for the work that the attorney has done. And I don't know how much of that $400 the attorney has actually earned. Presumably, you and the attorney signed some form of a retainer where the attorney explained what his fee was and whether it was by the hour or whether it was by the case, and if it was by the hour, what the hourly rate is. But if you decide you no longer want to pursue bankruptcy, you're entitled to whatever portion of that $400 the attorney has not earned. And it's up to the attorney to explain to you how that fee was earned. In other words, the date the attorney worked on your case, how much time the attorney spent, what the attorney did, and how much the attorney charged for that. And the attorney should do that in writing. If the attorney believes that he's earned the entire $400, the attorney needs to explain that to you in writing. And if you disagree with that, or if the attorney just won't communicate with you, the Virginia State Bar regulates attorneys, and they have a fee dispute number that you can call to get their assistance in resolving a fee dispute. That number is 804-775-9423. And you would use that number if the attorney, in fact, is not responsive to you, or you just disagree with the attorney's response. The other question is whether this is a good time for you to file bankruptcy at all. There are a lot of people who file bankruptcies due to medical debt and due to credit card debt. But the most important reason to file bankruptcy is if you have income or property that you're about to lose, that a bankruptcy is going to help you to save. And right now, you're not in that situation. Right now, you have no income from a job. You may or may not get unemployment compensation. And even if you do get unemployment compensation, your unemployment compensation cannot be garnished. And if it is in a bank account, although the bank account could be frozen, you could claim an exemption from garnishment and get the account unfrozen and the garnishment dismissed. So you're in a situation where, as the old blues song says, when you ain't got nothing, you got nothing to lose. This is not really a good time to file bankruptcy. It's not good to file bankruptcy when your financial fortunes are on the way down or at rock bottom. The best time to file bankruptcy is when your finances are improving. The way we often put it is, you don't start filling in a hole until you've stopped digging it. And at this point, you may still be digging your hole. But when you go back to work and when you are taking home from your job after required taxes are withheld, more than $290 per week, then you will have what we call garnishable income. And then you will be a great candidate for bankruptcy, and we would be delighted to have you contact Legal Aid. And we would be happy to send you a bankruptcy packet to complete and return, but only at the time that you have something to lose, and that would probably be when you're taking home more than $290 per week from a job after taxes. Is that information helpful to you?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, thank you much for being on the show. We're here at the offices of Drive to Work, and we're speaking with Randy Rollins. He is the president of Drive to Work. Welcome to the show, Randy.
Thank you, and glad to be here with you today.
Thanks for being on the show. Well, tell our listeners exactly what is Drive to Work.
Drive to Work is a nonprofit organization whose mission it is to assist low-income and previously incarcerated people to get their licenses restored so they can drive to work and keep a job.
What are some of the reasons why someone would have lost his or her driver's license?
A number of reasons. Number one, they may have been convicted of a traffic offense which led to the loss of their license, such as a DUI, driving on under the influence, or driving on suspended. They'd lost their license before and they do it again. Certain reckless driving charges are subject to that. And then there are other categories of suspension based on the fact that you haven't paid court fines, or that your insurance has lapsed on your car, or that you're behind in your child support payments.
Well, Randy, how big of a problem is this? In other words, how many folks out there, or maybe what percentage of drivers are out there and driving around and they have no driver's license, or maybe they're not driving around, but they're not doing it because they don't have a driver's license?
Yeah. A significant number, surprising number, in fact. DMV shows there are about 5.5 million drivers in Virginia. And of those 5.5 million, there may be 1 million suspensions at any one time. And when you reduce that by the number of people who might have multiple suspensions, it comes down to about 700,000 people are suspended at any one time.
So a significant percentage of people who used to have a driver's license don't have it now because of a suspension.
That's right, and it creates a huge impact on their lives. Not only do they suffer the fines and penalties for not complying with the law, but oftentimes they lose their jobs. A huge burden is placed on their families because they have to take them to places, and they are subject to further violations if they go out and drive.
Well, and tell us what those further penalties would be. Obviously, it's a really bad idea to go out and drive if you don't have a driver's license or it's been suspended. But just exactly what are the consequences?
Well, one of the consequences is a fine. And the fine could, depending on how many driving on suspended charges you've had, it could range up to $1,500. If you've had 3 driving on suspended charges, you're subject to a jail sentence, and the minimum sentence for a person convicted the third time of doing that is 10 days. Plus, you'll lose your license for another period of time if you drive on suspended.
And what is that period of time if you drive on a suspended license? What is that additional period that you would lose it for?
It depends on the court and the circumstances. Typically, it ends up being about 90 days, but it could be longer if the suspension period that you were previously suspended for is still in effect. Or it could be shorter if your circumstances are such that the judge thinks you should be suspended for less time.
So this could be a real snowballing effect. You don't have a license, you drive anyway, it gets suspended longer, you drive some more, it gets suspended longer. This can go on indefinitely.
Can go on indefinitely. Plus, remember, you're going to be hit with a fine and a cost every time you go to court if you lose the case. And so those fines build up. If your income level is you're just making it barely with what you got to live on, and you get some fines and don't pay the fines, that's another separate reason why you'd be suspended.
And all of that, I assume, has got to be paid or arrangements to be paid in order to get your license back.
Precisely.
So what is it the Drive to Work does to help people get their driver's licenses restored?
Well, the best way to understand this is to understand the process we use. When a person asks us for help, we send them an application which tells us something about their personal background, a little bit about their driving record. We also get their driving record, and based on that, we sit down with them and develop a plan for restoration. That plan will depend upon why they were suspended to begin with. If their suspension is because of fines, then we got to work a way to pay the fines or get a payment plan made for those. If the suspension is because they were driving on suspended, then we have to either wait for that time period to run or think about a restricted license for that. I didn't mention before, but you can also be suspended by being convicted of a drug offense, whether it involves an automobile or not. And if that's the case, there's an automatic 6-month suspension for that. So you have to figure out what to do about that, which might include a restricted. It might include just letting the time run.
I see. So it's basically an individualized approach because there are so many different reasons people could lose their license or have it suspended. There's really no one-size-fits-all approach.
That's exactly right. And people's circumstances will vary, too. A person who has money and or friends who can help him with the money is going to have an easier time of dealing with the fines. Somebody else might have a harder time because they've got to go to some classes in order to be restored. It just depends on the individual circumstance and what they've got to do.
Now, is some of this going to require going to court, filing a petition with a circuit court in order to get the license restored?
That's a great question, and yes, it is. Typically, for a fine, you don't have to go to court to arrange a payment plan. But if a person is a habitual offender or has had a 3 DUIs and now is eligible to get their license back, then that person has to go to court and convince the court that they are ready to go back on the road.
So who is eligible to get the services of Drive to Work?
Well, our criteria are based on income levels. And if a person has less than twice the federal poverty level, then they are eligible for the Drive to Work program. They then would have to pay a small administrative fee because we believe it's important for them to have some stake in the process. But once they do that, they can become a client.
And how much is the administrative fee?
It varies depending on the complexity of the case. The minimum administrative fee is $150. But if a person has multiple court appearances that are required or several different steps in different courts, different localities, then that amount will be increased upward. Probably never going to exceed $500 or $600, even in the most complex case.
So from the simplest case where it would be $150 to the most complex case of $500 or maybe $600, that would be the total fee that would have to be paid. There's no additional fee. There's no attorney's fee on top of that.
No attorney's fees on top of that. They'd have to pay their court fines themselves. They'd pay any filing fees, and if we have incidental fees like travel someplace, but otherwise there's no fee. And we want to establish this right up front so everybody knows going in what it's going to cost them. If they want to choose not to proceed with it because they think they can do it themselves, well, that's fine with us.
And what type of a license are people generally getting? Are they getting full restoration of driving privileges? Are they getting a restricted license to go to and from work? Is it some get one and some get the other?
Some get some and the restricted, and some get a full license. It depends on their circumstance. The goal is to get everybody with a full license, because then they can go anywhere they want to and do anything they want to do with their automobile. If they have a restricted license, it's back and forth to work. It's while you're driving at work. It's taking yourself or your family to medical appointments. It's going to school. Basic things. You're not able to go on a vacation or drive to the grocery store or some other more personal errand that you might have with a restricted. So the goal would be to get everybody to a full license, but sometimes you have to go in steps. And many times people will start out with a restricted and then meet the requirements for the full license several months later. So it's sometimes it's a step-by-step process. Other times you can go get the full license and take care of it right then.
And where is Drive to Work located?
We have two offices. Our main office is in Richmond. It's in an area called Scott's Addition near the Diamond, very close to the bus route, so it's easy to get to. We also have a satellite office in Petersburg at the Workforce Investment Center there in downtown Petersburg, and we have people come to that office to pick up information every day. We staff that office one day a week.
And what areas of the state do you serve? It sounds like obviously the Richmond area as well as the Petersburg area. Anywhere else?
We have a broader range of services geographically than you might think. We've had cases in Virginia Beach. We've had cases in Fredericksburg. We've had a case in Charlottesville. So Central Virginia, we can do those cases. If it's out in Southwest Virginia, miles away, we can't. If it involves a court appearance, that's where the restriction is. If it involves dealing with fines, we can probably deal with them anywhere in the state.
And how would someone get the assistance of Drive to Work?
Well, typically, they'll call us and ask for an application, and we'll send them an application and ask them if we can get their license for them. They learn about us through word of mouth. We've had opportunities to appear at judicial conferences and conferences of clerk's offices. And so some of those places have actually information on our company, and they will refer people here. Probation officers do that. Other organizations which are in the business of trying to help people get jobs do it. And our basic goal is not just to help them get a license, but to help them get a license so they can get and keep a job. That's the ultimate goal. We don't get the job for them, but we know how important it is for them to have a license in order to get and keep a job.
And is there a toll-free number and or a website that the listening audience should know about?
There's a website, which is www.drivetowork.org. And there's a toll-free number, which is accessible outside this Richmond area, which is 877-358-6727.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We have been talking with Randy Rollins. He is the president of Drive to Work, an organization here in Richmond with a satellite office in Petersburg, Virginia, and they help people who are at or below 200% of poverty get their driving privileges restored. This has been very helpful. Thank you so much for being on the program, Randy.
Thank you for inviting me.
This week's top three tips are about levies. The first tip is that a levy is when a sheriff comes to your home and makes a list of property that can be sold to pay a judgment against you. A levy is also called an attachment. The second tip is that a levy can't be placed on property exempt from levy. This includes $5,000 worth of household goods, $1,000 worth of clothing, medically prescribed health aids, $10,000 worth of tools and equipment you need for work or school, and a motor vehicle worth up to $2,000. The third tip is that a levy also can't be placed on up to $5,000 worth of other property if you list it in a homestead deed and file the homestead deed with the circuit court. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King. And for this week, that's our top three tips about levies.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. The show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. Also, if you have a question you would like answered or any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. Please include your name and phone number. You also can leave that same information before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. by calling 200-6045. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Sometimes it's difficult to get your security deposit back because you've already moved out of the rental housing. So it's important to fully understand the law before you move in. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when our guest, private attorney Linda Price, discusses security deposits, what they can and cannot be used for, and the rights of both the landlord and the tenant when there's a damage dispute. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegman.